Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
Earlier in the year, a report by the Live Venue Collective said the country was at risk of losing some of its most beloved and iconic live entertainment venues. It also highlighted a risk of brain drain of artists, technicians and engineers from the sector. So, as the entertainment industry awaits government guidelines for reopening, they still don't have a date as I understand it. We want to hear from the nation's live entertainment venues this morning about what the current situation is. I'm delighted to be joined by Stephen Falloon. He's the general manager of the Bordgas Energy Theatre. Alva Skay is director of operations of the Hotspot Music Club out there in Greystones. Kieran Black is the entertainment director at the Grand Social here in Dublin. And Adele Curtin is the vice chair of the Live Venue Collective, and she's also the owner of Coughlin's in Cork City. So all four, you're very welcome to us here this morning. I know it's been a very difficult and turbulent 15 months for you, but we might start with you, Stephen. We heard you earlier on with Sinead Ryan about the beautiful architecture of your facility down there, but let's talk about entertainment, Stephen. You talk about this brain drain that's happened. What's the evidence that people have been lost and tragically lost to other sectors, because they've got to feed their families and they've got to look after themselves?
Absolutely. It's good morning, Bobby. It's an unfortunate effect of the pandemic when our industry has been closed for effectively, you know, nearly coming on 15 months, that, you know, people have mortgages to pay, families to feed, that when they're not, you know, earning money in the way that they have been earning for their whole career, they have no choice but to go and retrain elsewhere so that they can put food on the table and pay their mortgage.
So what? Where do we go from here, Stephen? I'm seeing in today's newspapers that events industry says the EU grant scheme is too little, too late. There's 25 million available. Apparently, it's been oversubscribed to three times that. So clearly, that isn't enough.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I think we have to be positive about it, because unfortunately we could never predict that something like this pandemic was going to happen. It's all very unprecedented. In fairness to the government, something like the Live Performance Support Scheme, its intentions are very clear and very honourable, that it is about getting people back to work while we wait to get back to work. I mean, there is good news here. You know, from the announcements last night, you know, there seems to be a very concerted effort to get things going again with all the pilot events that are happening in Phoenix Park in June and Ivy Gardens. You know, there's a lot happening so that we can look forward to getting back to doing what we do best and what we love doing. And I'd be hopeful that that will be happening, you know, towards the end of the summer, early autumn. And then in the meantime, we will have this live performance support scheme to get people back to work.
Okay. Stay with us. I meant to say at my introduction that my chat with you all here this morning, the music venues and the entertainment venues, is part of what we're running here at the station called The Show Must Go On, which is supporting the arts and live events sector as we want to celebrate. That's our station here, News Talk, the value that you guys bring to us both socially and economically. Let's go to our second venue now, Alva Skay, the director of operations at the Hotspot Music Club in Greystones. You're very welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Hi, Bobby. How are you?
Now, Alva, as I understand it, you're a smallish venue out there in Greystones, and you only have kind of one channel, in that you don't do food or catering or so you've been particularly hard hit. Is that right?
Yeah, I've been in an abyss for about 15 months, not knowing, I suppose, if the live music ever is going to come back, watching the dust gather and the stock go off, and then rescheduling till there's no point anymore, and eventually not even going into the venue because it's quite depressing. So that's been the past 15 months. Took a temporary desk job recently. So now let's look at the future, you know, and big announcements yesterday. But no big surprises yet. No detail as usual. very much centered, I think, on getting 80,000 people into a field or whatever for, you know, big promoters and all. But where does that leave us small venues? Do you know what I mean? There's no clarification of pilot schemes. Obviously, we're not going to copy, I hope, the same pilot schemes in Liverpool and Barcelona, because we're not going to get a different result. So what can
tell us about those, Alva? Tell us about those schemes in Lisbon and Barcelona. What did they pilot and what was the result?
Well, they piloted gathering large numbers for two events, and the Barcelona one was outdoors. People were masked. They were all tested before and afterwards. There was little or no spread. And then the Liverpool one was a smaller crowd with equally positive results. So it means that antigen testing works, even though the government has said, oh, you know, you won't, it's not as accurate as PCR. It's far cheaper. You can test far more people. So there's no reason not to use it if that's what gets us, allows us to open up again. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I think that they don't need to have this idea of a straight down the line approach of, say, okay, a 100-seater venue can have 1,000-seater venue can have 100 people, and that's not going to work for me. I only have 10 people. So they need to try different pilots, like, say, putting 200 people in a 400-seater in Galway, something else in Galway, something else in Dublin, because we have to open again. And, you know, and the other thing I'd just like to say is the idea of having no alcohol served. I feel like we're being treated like children. I mean, I run a venue where the people are of an older age. They come to the venue to listen, and if they have a few drinks, it's part of the evening, and there's nobody jumping up and down and hugging each other. You know what I mean? So we're all getting tarred with the same brush, if for the want of a better expression. Do you know what I mean?
No, I do, and I, your point is very well made, Alva, in that, you know, and this is one of the difficulties with government, that they find it very difficult to separate, you know, the wheat from the chaff. They come out with a support that's, you know, the same applies for everybody. But as you point out there, people's needs are very different in this sector. And I think that's a point you've well made. Let's stay with us, Alva. Let's talk to Ciarán Black, Entertainment Director at the Grand Social. Ciarán, you're very welcome. How are you?
It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah. Now,
I'm healthy and happy.
Right, well, tell us about your world at the moment, Ciarán. All your staff are back to work, as I understand it.
Yeah, it's so when we shut down like everybody else, we had some time off and tried to figure out what we were going to do next. And when we started noticing that people are going out, walking around, drinking a little bit of a coffee stand, one of the windows where it's safe for the staff, it's safe for people to come by. We're the only place actually open selling coffee at the time, and that alone started getting the staff back to work. So it was we thought about more of a mental health issue, really, is we could have sustained it a little bit longer without being open, but we got our staff back to work, and instead of them sitting.
It's very
depressing for everybody.
Ciarán, we might ring you back on a different line. That one doesn't sound great. Stay with us and we'll just come back into touch with you. Because I want to bring in our fourth guest, Adele Curtin, as well as being the owner of Coughlin's in Cork City there. But you're also, Adele, the vice chair of the Live Venue Collective. So you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Now, firstly, you might tell us about this Live Venue Collective. As I understand it, it's 27 independent venues coming together. So you've got a good analysis, I'd suggest, Adele, of where the sector is at now. Tell me more.
Yeah, we got together, I suppose, back in August, a group of us that we've all kind of, I suppose, interacted with each other down through the years, putting on gigs in each other's venues and just keeping in touch with each other. And we decided just to, you know, get together, try and see was there a way that we could help each other and support each other and, you know, go to the Department of Culture and see if we could try and get some funding to sustain our venues during the pandemic. And to be honest, it's been a great thing for all of us because, as Ciarán was saying there, mentally this has been very difficult for everybody. Obviously, financially, it's been extremely difficult, but there's definitely a mental side to this too. And thankfully, to be fair to the department, they did engage with us and we were involved with the Live Performance Support Scheme pilot back in November and December, which was a really, you know, encouraging lifeline for all of us and gave us a bit of hope that we could return someday to live music when it was safe to do so. And look, we're hopeful that in the next couple of weeks the full scheme will be announced and that will allow us to go back and do gigs again.
Yeah, there's been some chat I see again looking at today's papers that musicians are devastated at the lack of indoors gigs date. So a date is obviously the government are having a difficulty fixing down a date because they want to run all these trials and that. Is that something that you guys can afford to wait for?
Well, I think from the announcements last night, there are dates are being put in place, but I suppose the question that we all have is, I suppose we need clarity on what supports are going to be there for us to be allowed to do the gigs and what the actual guidelines are. So, for example, there was an announcement that you're allowed to have 100 people outdoors for an event, but we don't know, say, is that 100 people social distance at a metre or 2 metres or what size venue 100 people will be allowed in. And then the other side of that is 100 people, depending on your size of your venue, might not be viable. So
yeah,
I suppose that's what we need clarity on. And the live performance sports team is a big part of that, in, you know, along with the gigs. Because even what we did in November, there's absolutely no way that would have been sustainable without the support from government to go ahead and do the gigs. And, yeah, you know, what Alan was saying, and you were mentioning there about, you know, losing people in the industry, at least if we have some sort of guidelines or some map ahead of us, that might keep people within the industry for now. If they know that these events are going to be happening, we know that they're going to be coming up in the next few months. And it gives us all a bit of hope and something to work towards. So I suppose they're the two big things we need right now, just clarity on what we're allowed to do and what supports will be there to allow us to do them.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's very interesting. And stay with us, Adele. Stephen, let's go back to you. Just that point that I was making there about the government supports and about them finding their way to, industries or venues that have different needs. What's your thought on that? Is there a way that supports could be more tailored, I suppose, depending on your venue and your circumstance?
I think in fairness to the government, they've tried their best. This has not been an easy situation to be in. And I think in fairness, they've tried to think outside the box and go, okay, this industry is on, it's decimated, it's on the floor. Let's try and get, and that live performance support scheme, that the pilot scheme before Christmas and the scheme that's coming before over the summer, it's really important because it's getting people back to work and it's getting our venues open again. And we're looking to our UK, you know, partner, our UK, what's going on there, because they are a couple of months ahead of us in the vaccine and now their venues are open at the minute to 50% capacity, with a hope that they can open to 100% on June 21st. So that the feeling is, if that works in the UK, then we will be doing the same thing. And hopefully we won't have to have this conversation anymore, because hopefully we'll be back open doing what we do best.
Yeah. Alva, can I go back to you about if we look at the business model, when we talk about capacity, you mentioned it there, you know, you're 100 seats, and if it's a 10% capacity, you can only deal with 10 people. Like, is the reality of the business case that the price for an event is going to have to go up significantly? Like, we don't like to say this, but the reality of the economics surely would say that if I can only have so many people paying X amount and I have to pay the band or the actors or whatever it is Y amount, I need to be able to make money here.
Well, I mean, it's totally on. I mean, without, obviously, we haven't been given any clarity, but if there is even a 50% reduction, it's very, very unviable for a small venue. And anyone that runs one knows that there's no money made in the door. You pay as much as you can afford to the act that is well deserved of it. But after that, I mean, you're lucky to cover the doorman. So it's just not viable. And no matter whether you have a listening audience that has one drink each or a cup of tea, you still have to have a staff behind the bar, etc. So all of this is non-viable for smaller venues unless the government is going to subsidise. But even if they could give us a reduced capacity, provided there was testing or something beforehand, I don't mean vaccination proof, but even just antigen testing, something like that would allow more people in, because it's been proven. You know what I mean? It's been proven. Yeah. We don't have to go and do that test again. And I mean, everybody loves the idea of a small intimate concert in the venue, and even musicians do, and there's something very, very magic about it, and you can't replicate that in a larger thing, and you can't replicate it with 100 people and 1,000 seaters. So if there's some way we can find and some clarity from the government how we can
do it. Yeah, well, hopefully we will do that. Kieran Black, you're back with us, thankfully. Sorry about that phone line. What about that point there, Kieran, that Alva was making about, again, you know, different folks for different strokes? What about things like antigen testing? What about the vaccination passport? Do you see these things either directly or indirectly becoming something that you're going to, I suppose, legislate who gets in and who doesn't by?
I don't know. Like, I'm not a scientist. And right, first off, I don't know. I see that they're talking about that with the hotels. They're talking about that with flights coming into Ireland. And it seems logical. If there was a way to test people, do you have COVID? If there's a way to test, have you had COVID, or are you vaccinated? Can you come in? It seems like a logical solution, temporary solution, but it does seem logical if you're coming into a small venue or a very big venue. But if you're the thing that I think is very interesting is that if you had a 300 capacity venue like the Grand Social, and you're allowed 150 people in it, and you had contact tracing, and you did all the testing, you did everything you could possibly do, and somebody got COVID, you could contain that. But if you have a 30,000 capacity, it'd be very hard to contain that.
Yeah.
So I think that the government should be looking at that perspective. But again, I'm not a scientist.
Okay, well,
logical.
No, I think you're being very logical. Last word to you, Adele Curtin. Okay, so there's some clarity needed, there's some dates needed, there's some minutiae around the what's on offer needed, but can we leave the conversation today with a little bit of optimism, or what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, look, we have to try and stay positive, and, you know, we do have to acknowledge that the government, they've been thrown into a situation as well, and the department have been thrown into a situation that they've never had to deal with before, and I suppose in particular with the commercial sector, they've never had to give support, and I think they're doing their best, but I think that last night definitely gives us a little bit of hope. It's a starting point, and, you know, I think hopefully over the coming weeks there will be more clarity on what we can do and what supports are there for us to do it, and
yeah,
we all can't wait to get back to
I think you're right, and I think it's about, you know, the detail will sort itself out and everybody will find a way, hopefully, to operate within that. So listen, it's been a great discussion this morning. I want to thank all my four guests: Stephen Falloon from the Bordgas Energy Theatre, Alva Skay from the Hotspot out there in Greystones, Kieran Black from the Grand Social, and indeed Adele Curtin from Coughlin's in Cork City. Thanks for joining us, and as I said earlier, all over this week and next week at the station, we're going to be running a series all about live and entertainment industry called The Show Must Go On, which next Friday we'll see Pat Kenny doing a special show from Whelan's, and also will feature exclusively live performances from an Irish artist throughout the whole day. So we look forward to that, and we're with you, folks. So stand by, and hopefully all will be well soon, and you'll get back to doing what you do brilliantly, which is entertaining us.